You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Hosea, chapter 4. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank you for thy word and thy work, thy grace. So your day, your time, God, the minutes that are here will move into the hours tomorrow. So help us in every way, and we'll thank you very, very much in Christ. Amen. It isn't going to happen, but God is obligated to do his part, and he does. Therefore, Romans 1 and 28, giving you the diagnosis and prognosis, ultimately, of humanity. Verse 28, 1 and 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, they did not want to, after putting God to the test, for the purpose of approving him, that he should meet their very specific specifications, that they and they did not approve. They did not meet their specifications, and for their knowledge, he didn't satisfy them. So he gave them up. Or they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind that didn't want to know, didn't care to know. They were ignorant. They enjoyed their ignorance. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient or fitting, which are not fitting. They're the wrong things to do, the wrong direction, and everything is wrong, but God gave them over to that kind of thinking. Israel, the 10 tribes in the north, are headed in that direction more and more and more. Now, back over to 1 Kings. 1 Kings in chapter 17. And in 1 Kings chapter 17, picking up, please, in thought, here's Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, and said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be rain, dew or rain these years, but according to my word." And that, as you know, as we looked at, is a clear 3.5 years that it isn't going to rain. 3.5 years, no question. No dew, no rain, 3.5 years. And Elijah is there, and he's just come, if you go from the Jordan to Samaria, as the crow flies, you're going about 23 miles. And if you're going to go from the Jordan to where he lived, you're going to go 32 miles total distance. So he went that mileage, and he's gone, come all the way over to Samaria from the other side of the Jordan. And he's telling them, God is living, and I stand before God. What are you going to argue? God has something to say. He had a man to say it, and he did. Now, in the process of that, so Israel, is it not going to turn around? They're not going to get straightened out. They're going in the wrong direction. They're going to get deeper and deeper and darker and darker. Now, so the blessing, where is the blessing? Well, there isn't any. No good king, no good priest, no good prophets, as it were, from their end of it. They didn't have anything. No blessing. Now, when that happens, the country goes down like that. There's no way you're going to look for some good. So it isn't, there's no way to find the blessing. But, the man of God, the people of God, the people that look to God, are trusting God, God is not an absent, is not absent. God knows all about it. Now, over if you would to get the flow, over to Deuteronomy and chapter 28. Deuteronomy and chapter 28. And if I may, keeping in mind, God has given a wonderful, wonderful thing for the nation if they had taken it, but the nation didn't take it. They left it. They could have been blessed, blessed above all the people of the earth, but they didn't do it. And you know, Deuteronomy chapter 28, 1 through 15, 1 through 14, it's all about that blessing. And I just pick it up, if I can, in verse 1. "And it shall come to pass that if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come in thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, blessed be thou in the city, blessed be thou in the city, etc., etc., etc. Blessed, verse 6, blessed be shall thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shall thou be when thou goest out, whether you're going in or out, city or country, whatever you do, God is going to bless you. And God's going to bless you with all the blessings. And you don't have to hunt them down. The blessings are going to find you. I will," hear it, "God said, I will choose the blessings, and the blessings are endless. Endless blessing. No matter what you do, I'm going to bless you. I'll be the one to choose the blessings, and I will bless you wherever you go, however you go, I'm going to bless you. Now, and thus, with that in mind, over to verse 12, under the blessings. And the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. In other words, you're going to be so plush, just like our country had been, to give and give and give. Try to think the last time we had to be given anything by countries. When was there an airlift from outside to our country in particular? Normally, we never. We're always giving to the world, but we never have to be given to. Wow. God has blessed the country. Well, God had blessed Israel. And the rain, God had given them rain. God had given them whatever the blessing they need. But, if they don't honor God, verse 15, but if it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses will come upon thee, and shall overtake thee. And there they are, cursed shall thou be, verse 16, in the city, cursed shall thou be in the field, cursed shall thou be when you go out, verse 19, cursed shall thou be when you goest in, and the whole world has changed. What changed? Your relationship to God, the God who blesses. You left God out, and now you lost the blessing, because God was the source of the blessing, and you have left him. Israel has no knowledge of God. Now, where are we going to find any blessing? We aren't going to find any blessing, because there's no God to bless. Now, hang on to that. And thus, in the curses, sliding down to verse 23, and thy heaven, and that is over thee, that is over thy head, shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron, and the Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust from heaven. It shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. I'll restop. All the blessing, I'll make the heaven as brass and the ground as iron. You can't get anything out of the ground, and you can't get anything from heaven. I blocked it all off. You can't get it. If you don't honor me, when you honor me, I'll open the heavens and I'll bring forth the fruit of the ground. But when you don't do that, I'm going to cut it off. Now that's because, here's all the nations of the world. They have their problems. But Israel has a special relationship to God. And God especially deals with them in a very special way. And thus, what the Philistines and the Egyptians can get away with, not Israel, not God's people, different movement. He chastens, you know Hebrews 12 and that. If he doesn't chasten you, you are illegitimate, true? He chastens those he wants, he loves. The rest of them are doing what they do. You just read it in Romans 1:28. He gave them up to do whatever they're going to do. Go do it. God will still bring rain and allow the flowers to grow. And the countries with their religions are going to pay. Their religions are going to handicap them. But that's what they're going to do. Now, so in the light of that, in the light of Deuteronomy, in the light of the blessing, in the light of all that wonderment, God, and you made Israel, you gave him wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be tested. That's correct. Over to chapter 8 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in chapter 8. God prepared, if Israel would have listened, but they didn't pay attention. Elijah, are you going to pay attention? How about you? Elijah is a man blessed. Blessed. And God has a, he is on God's itinerary, which included Ahab, and God has a wonderful itinerary for him and wonderful accommodations for him. He has wonderful accommodations. He's going to have a wonderful little trip for him to prepare him for his big work. The big work isn't before Ahab. That's just the beginning. Now, so you got to train the man. And God said, if you go with me, my hotel accommodations are wonderful. Wonderful. I take care of you in a most wonderful way. Now, so now, here in chapter 8, Israel should have paid attention. Elijah will. Chapter 8, verse 1. At thy commandments, which I commanded this day, shall you observe to do, that you may live, and multiply, and go in, and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, and prove, put thee to the test, for what? To know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or no. So, they had opportunity for 40 years to be educated. And you know what? They went to school and came out. And only a handful came out that were with it compared to all that went in. Now, in the light of that wonderful exercise, and remember now, over if you would, back over to 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings and chapter 17. So, Israel, Ahab, blessing, you aren't going to get blessing. You aren't going to get it because you left God out. You have no knowledge of God. You're ignorant, ignoring God. And in the process, Elijah is going to try to wake you up with the wonderful judgment that there would be no rain or dew for 3.5 years. And hopefully that would wake you up. Wake you up, and it didn't. It didn't wake them up at all, like they should have. Didn't wake them up. And you would think, projecting into tomorrow, you would think the tribulation coming up would wake up. By the time the 6th year comes in the tribulation, you would think the world might want to wake up. But they don't. They don't wake up. Nope. They're going to go to war, as we did in 6 o'clock. They're going to go to war against God. Now, in the light of that, so now, here's chapter 17, Elijah. And Elijah is there. He stands before God, living God, in the presence of God. He's honoring God. He's blessed by God. And in the process, you have to be blessed in order to be a blessing, don't you? Don't you? I don't know. Don't you have to be blessed to be a blessing? Make me a blessing. Don't you have to be blessed? How are you going to bless anyone else if you aren't blessed? You have to be blessed. 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 I remember years ago when I was in engineering out there and going to Methodist Church in El Segundo, and that's where I got kicked out of there. Now, I did that because, anyway, you know all that stuff. In the process, I taught Sunday school every week, every little week. Every week I prayed that one of those children would come to know the Lord. And I sat down and said, God, leave me the child that's going to come to know you each week. And each week he led me the child that stayed and came to know the Lord as a Savior. I went to see their parents and tell them their little boy or girl has come to know the Lord as their Savior. And we were just going right merrily along. And the minister told me, you know, in the process, he said, you know, my grandfather used to do that, know that stuff, but I don't know. We don't do that here. But in the process was an older lady, and I remember going, I never forgot it. I was going up happily, merrily I go along, and I was going up the stairs in the church, and she was coming down, and I said, without even thinking, I said, the Lord bless you. And she stopped me, and said, no one has ever said that to me. And I said, I am saying it to you. The Lord bless you. We can't bless anybody unless we're blessed. And if you're not blessed, how are you going to bless anybody? You have no good news. Now, in the light. So here we are. Here's Elijah. And Elijah is a man that God is brought and raised up. He's a prayerful man. Man that trusts God with all his heart and does whatever God tells him to do. He's an ignorant fellow out there comparatively to the Pharisees and that. But he's very intelligent about the person of God and enjoys the person of God. And he stands before God. And he is without faith it's impossible to please God, and he has got faith. He believes God. He is a triumphant one. Now he's going forward. And he's going to go forward, and he needs to be in the place to add to this before we go. To add to that, he needs to be not in just a submission. I submit to the will of God. That's good. But not good enough. You need to submit to the will of God with delight. You're happy, delighted to submit to the will of God. In losses, in all kinds of things you can go through, headaches, heartaches, family, loved ones and all, you learn to submit delightfully to God who's outworking the whole thing, and you're looking to him. Over, if you would, to get this, hang on to 17. Over, if you would, please, to Psalm. Psalm 40. And you'll pick up the flavor in Psalm 40. May I go directly to verse 3. Psalm 40, verse 3. In Psalm 40. And picking up, if I can, verse 5, save time. No, verse 6, thank you. Sacrifice and offering thou hast not desired. Mine eyes, mine ears hath thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight, D-E-L-I-G-H-T, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I delight to do it. Thy will. You got that part? I delight to do thy will. Now go back up to verse 5. Now to verse 5. I like to do your will, God. All right. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. Thy thoughts, which are to usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order. You can't calculate them. They're more than the sand of the sea, etc. Unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. So God, you have a wonderful way of handling everything in your blessing that would hunt me down wherever I go. If I'm going to trust you, you're going to bless me at wherever, in, out, up, down, in a world that is unblessed. You're going to bless this man, Elijah? Uh-huh. And I'm going to bless my people. I leave them. The church is my testimony, my body, to represent who I am in a world of deep unbelief and darkness. And if my church, the believing body of believers, would trust me, I will keep them in the thick and the thin of it, wherever they are. In this world, which I already know is full of trouble. I already know it. You need to know. I know that, said God. Now watch what I'm going to do. Now, having said that, delight. And by the way, Psalm 40 is what the Lord Jesus will quote in Hebrews 10, I delight, I came to do your will, God. That's what he said. And then you read Hebrews 12, what? He counts as all joy when he what? Is going to what? He counts it all joy when he's going to walk up to the cross. He counts it as joy. That's God's will. For God's wonderful glory. Now hang on to that. Back over, if you would, to 1 Kings, chapter 17. 1 Kings, chapter 17. Picking up, if I may, in verse 2. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, that's a command, and turn thee eastward, in other words, head back home, 23 miles or so, from where Samaria, all the way straight over to the Jordan River. You're going to cross the Jordan River. Get thee hence unto the east, on the eastward, and hide thyself, you do hide yourself, in by the brook Kerith that is before Jordan. So here's the Jordan River. You're going to cross the Jordan River going eastward. And when you cross the river, there's the brook coming down from his homeland, Gilead, coming down and emptying into the Jordan River. And that's where he's going to go. God told him he had a place for him. Not any old place. He had a place. He had a reservation. God made it. And thus he goes to Kerith on the other side of the Jordan. And there he is in the bushes and the rubble and all the stuff where nothing goes on in the wildness of the area. And thus in the process he goes there and he's there waiting. Now, and remember, God is a wonderful plan for him there. And in verse 4, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook Kerith, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, so I've made a, it's a perfect place. I've picked it. You can't go any other place. You go any other place, you're going to miss the hotel reservations that I have made. I have made reservations for you there. I have made provision for you there. Not like Joseph. Joseph had the pit and the prison. And God used that for Joseph to be a blessing. He did. And Moses, he had on the backside of the desert for 40 years. He did that. And our Lord, 40 days and nights in the wilderness. God had a wonderful provision. A Paul in the Arabian desert. God had all of the stuff. Everybody, you have special everything. I do. Now, picking up by the brook, verse 4, thou shalt drink of the brook. You're going to drink of the brook, and I have commanded intensive, the verb is intensive, active, intensive, with great vigor to it, great strength to it. I have gone and enthusiastically have the ravens. I have them, I've taken them, and I'm going to use them in a most wonderful way. And they're going to feed thee. And, verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, and went and dwelt by the brook Kerith that is before Jordan. And now he did that. Everything's fine. He's where he's supposed to be. It's in God's place. And, in verse 6, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. So, wonderful accommodations. Everything there he had in the wilderness, in the bushes. There he was. After all, he was used to that anyway. And there he is. And he's being fed by the ravens. Raven, remember, is the crow family. Beautiful bird. They're omen, a great birds of omen. You know, the Jewish people were afraid to have any of them around because it meant evil, ravens, etc. And so the ravens about 24 inches high, 2 feet high, bigger than a crow, beautiful birds, black, beautiful. Now, and thus they're ravens, and the ravens are an unclean bird, except God only has all of that to teach something, to clean, unclean, holy, unholy. you learn to do this and don't do that because you're paying attention to who I am. There's things that are good, things that are not good. Those aren't, in particular aren't very bad, but at the moment, they're going to be used, the objects for the lesson to learn, holy, unholy, clean, unclean. Now, in the light of that, here's the ravens, as it were, and the ravens are there, and remember, you don't have to turn there, but in Genesis, remember the first place, you have raven, and Noah took everything that was had to keep going in life, and he took everything on board the ark. He had a little window he cut, because God told him to cut a window, and after so many 40 days, he sent the raven out, because he wants to see if the land, if the water is down enough, and somewhere, and he sent the raven out, and the raven went out, Genesis, and what happened? The raven never came back, because you would have the residue of debris, carcasses, carrion, still floating in the water somewhere, and they went and landed. They were content. He sent the doves out, and the doves what? The doves came back, because there was nowhere for them to go. But for the ravens, no problem. And you want to add to that, before we go, over if you would please, hold your finger here, to the Gospel of Luke. And you would remember the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, may I go, please, directly to verse 23. I'll even read verse 22 again in the light of the morning. He said unto him, his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought, anxiety for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. Life is more than meat or food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? Now, God, you take care of ravens. Raven, big ravens, that's right. And ravens are very common in the world. Now, so here we are looking at the ravens, and God, back over to 1 Kings 17, and we're looking at the ravens, and God is going to go and take care of them in a wonderful, wonderful way. And God's going to use the ravens. Now, God, couldn't you use angels? Sure. In fact, God, did you need anything? No, I don't. God. And, in the light of that, you remember that the world is busy seeking, as we read this morning, as you just hit the context a little bit. They're trying to have the food and the clothing and the drink and the water and everything to survive. They need to survive and succeed in this life. And that's what they're doing. But, people, you have a, people that know you, God, have you. You are the Heavenly Father. And you take care of them. And you know the need before they ever ask. And therefore, they have no need. And therefore, they seek you, seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if you do that, God said, I'll bless you. How I bless you is my business. How I work it out is my business. And you're going to be delighted because you're looking to me, and I'm delighted to do what I do, and you are delighted that I'm going to do what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it, if I'm going to do it, you're going to trust me. Now hang on. So now, in the light of that, with the ravens, and you would remember in the, one other little thought, well, you have, hold your finger right here again, over to Psalm 34 for a moment. Just so you have that same movement. Psalm 34, please. And picking up, please, in verse 8. 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack, and they suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So God, if we look, the lions in the desert in Africa and all of that, the dry season, boy, it gets tough. But boy, God, you're trying to tell us that the dry season, famine, isn't a problem. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. Not at all. Not at all. I can take care of anything. You trust me. You're in a world that is not happy. They don't know me. They're ignorant of me. I'm going to go and keep my testimony alive on planet Earth in spite of them. Now, back to 1 Kings 17. And so the ravens brought flesh day and water, flesh, bread and flesh every day. That's what they did. Every single day that they were there. Now, in the process of bringing all of that and keeping all of that there, would you just turn a page? Because I'm interested. Here's Elijah being fed once in the morning. He misses lunch. So breakfast must be of sufficient quantity. And then supper. And he has bread and meat each time, no matter what. And the ravens bring it. They bring him the bread and the meat. Now, what do I know? Well, chapter 18 and in verse 4, Obadiah is a good guy trying to protect the good prophets, trying to protect them. And they're hidden. He has to bring them food. He sneaks food in. I don't know how you do 100 of them. But puts food under his robe. Have to have a big robe. And he comes walking in and gives all. He's going to take care of all these people. I'll read it. 18:4. And for it was so, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, then Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave, and he fed them with bread and water. Bread and water. That sounds like a prison diet. Bread and water. No meat. Elijah, you get meat morning and evening. Wow. But they don't. No, the best they get is bread and water. And then on the other side of the coin, here's the 850 prophets of Baal, 450 of them. Here they are over on the other side, and what are they doing? Verse 19. And now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal, 450, and the prophets of groves, 400, which eat at the Jezebel's table. Now, here's Jezebel, Ahab, and you're feeding 850 people every day. You feed 800, and you can bet your boots they have more than bread and water. You can bet your boots they do. They're living off the fat of the land, and the people are making it possible. Drought or no drought, they're living it up anyway. But here's Elijah, special accommodations on the God's itinerary for him, and he has ravens bringing him, these big birds, bringing them bread, and flesh. Now, where do they get it? Where do they get it? God, you just read in Luke 12:24, God, you provide for them. That's right. So who has a little bakery shop down there by the Jordan? Little bakery shop. So the ravens go in every day and get their bread supply twice a day. And here's a little butcher shop over here. And they go in and get the... Don't have that. And they're going in the butcher shop. And they go in the butcher shop and get some meat. And they put in a big bill, a big fly, big birds. And they fly. I don't know how many there are. And Elijah could have said, hey, listen, guys. Could you bring me another piece of that juicy filet mignon? I just like that last piece. Would you just... I need another piece. And he had, and God took care of them with ravens. God said, I'll bless you. The way I bless you is the way I want. And by the way, my blessing, and you'll say, well, ravens, birds already put it in their mouth and stuff. Where did it come from? Was it sanitized? Was it passed by the FDI and the FIB and FBI and CIA? Did they all pass it? Did they pass it? Do you betcha, when God gave it to them, it was perfect. Do you think Elijah would get sick eating that? Never, 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 never. If God's doing it, you are safe as can be. You couldn't get safer. Wow. Now, so here they are, taking care, and they're feeding him, and he's quite content. He gets up in the morning, and they come, and gets ready for bed, and they feed him before that. And he has plenty to drink. The brook is drying up, though, because the drought's on. So now we'll go over to chapter 17 of 1 Kings, chapter 17. And you know the expression, it's for the birds. That means something is trivial or worthless. But this place is just for the birds, and it is not trivial, and it is not worthless. This is the place. Of all the places in the world, who would have picked this in no man's land, in the middle of the shrubbery? Who would ever pick such a place? God did. God did. God, you do whatever you want. I tried to tell you that. Israel didn't listen to me. But this man is looking to me, and I'm going to raise him up. Ahab, he's done his job with Ahab, but he has to go before all 850 prophets. And I'm going to train that man for that job. He isn't ready to go before them now. I'm going to get him ready. So what are you going to do? I have school in my itinerary. Class number one, here we are in the drought. Verse 7, and it came to pass after a while, the days coming to an end, a definite time period, unknown. The days just come to an end, the brook dried up, got less and less and less water. Now, Elijah said, oh no, the water's going. The water's going. But you have no record of that. You have no record that he's complaining, murmuring, he's trusting God, and you don't hear one whimper out of him is recorded. Not one. He's trusting God and triumphant. Water or no water, he's the one that said there'll be no water, and he isn't saying boo. He's hanging right in there. Now, and thus, verse 7, it came to pass after a while the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So now, here's the brook drying up. God's will, God's working, God's timing. The class this time, this stay at this place is all over. You're going to move. And so, God, I'm going to go and do something wonderful. I'm going to dry up the brook, so we have to move to get more water somewhere else. And in the process, I want you to know that God, and Elijah doesn't say boo about anything. God, your blessing is wonderful. No question. And God, what are we going to do with your blessing? We're going to learn to trust you and not the blessing. We're going to trust you and not the blessing. We're going to look at all the raven and the bread and the food and the water. But you are greater than, more than, other than all of the blessing put together. You alone are good and great and gracious and merciful. Just you. If you don't do anything, don't see anything, don't feel anything, everything could be terrible. And you are one good God. Can you get there and say that? That's where you have to get. So you aren't looking at the blessing. You're looking at the God. That's where the blessing comes from. And you're looking to God. And that's God, you're training that man. I am. It takes a little training. But he's willing to go to school. He's willing to submit delightfully. No fighting. He isn't going to fight me. Ah, boy, to find someone like that, God. You aren't going to fight him. No, I'm not going to fight you, God. I just want to learn. I just want, like Job, I'm not going to fight you about my problems. I'm going to learn to help me, understand, educate me. So in the process, God is going to go, and remember now, God, in the, you have a beginning and an ending to everything, for everything in life, but you yourself never have any beginning, you have no beginning, and you have no ending. So God, everything else is going to pass away, the river is going to pass away, the life, the world you live in is passing away, isn't it? Then what you had 20 years ago, can you find that today? Very hard, very hard. The happiness, where is that? The security, where is that? The job security, the job, a number, you're just a number. Used to be a person. Wow, it's all gone. It passed away. It dried up. It just dried up. Everything dries up. That's right. But God doesn't. God doesn't dry up. Now, and thus God, looking to you, and thus you're always there. Always there, and you, and the blessings that you have are there. We can count on those blessings all the way to the finish line. So God, tomorrow, you already know about tomorrow, and today is going to be past, everything is going to come to pass, it's going to end up, going to get dried up eventually, everything is, and in the process, we're going to go forward, and we're going to be exercised by now. So we're learning to exercise. You had a wonderful beginning in the brook Kerith, wonderful beginning, water, and now you got no water. And you know what? It's all right. Things change. You have loved ones and then you don't have them anymore. It's just the way it is. Things change. Are you ready for change? Are you rolling with this? It's the world you live in. Are you paying attention to reality? Are you going down the corridor of time correctly? And thus, Elijah is, and you're trusting God. I am going to trust God, no matter what. And thus, if I may, over to Psalm 87. In Psalm 87, picking up in thought, if I may, go directly, if I can, to verse 7. I'll read verse 6. The Lord shall count when he writeth up the people that this man was born there, Selah. Verse 7. As well the singers that are singing, as the players on instruments shall be there, everyone, God, and tomorrow coming up, it's going to be there, but keep in mind, no matter what happens tomorrow or the day after, all my springs are in thee. All the source of my blessing, the water that I need, isn't from the brook Kereth. It's from you. And all the do you remember how many canteens of water Moses brought up to the mountain for all those days in the fire. Do you remember the canteens? He had a big truck. He pulled up the mountain to have water. Do you remember that? But he didn't have any water. And he didn't have any ravens. And he didn't have any food. Now, how can that be? Well, then we have our Lord, 40 days and nights. And after 40 days and nights, he hungry. He got hungry. You know, If you haven't eaten for 40 days, you might be hungry. And that's when the devil came in and went after him to get him on the things, the senses, what we feel, what we love, what we touch, taste, our senses. And you have to get past that. So the empty brook, the ravens, and all the different, the taste of food, whether you have food or you don't have food, whether you have water or however it is, whether you have pollen from Poland or springs or from other places, or you have it from the faucet, you know. And there's nothing like faucet water to help you, because it helps your immune system. You understand? Your immune system. If you you want to exercise your immune system, that's why you buy honey, if you can, locally. Why do you buy honey locally? Because the bees live locally, and they get local flowers and whatever, and they make honey that's called localized, organic, pre-something, FDA-approved honey for your immune system. If you don't exercise your immune system, then you're letting it, I got to protect it. You have to be, well, I don't mean to get on this, you know all this stuff better than I do. I read it, you read it, and you don't wash your hands. Remember they tell you, Mary said, wash your hands with alcohol and anti-something soap suds. And you do that, and you wash your hands. And they tell you, don't do that. Just plain use soap, plain old soap. Why? Because you're washing away. You want the germs. Your system says, crying out, where are the germs? Do you understand? And you're going to give them germs. It's waiting for the germs to come. You say, we'll have to cancel this tape, but you got the idea. That's what you're doing. It's life. It's the reality. And you learn to live in it, you know, protect me from it. I'm in it. I need to know how to survive in it and how to succeed and fight. And thus, all my springs are in thee. Psalm 84. In Psalm 84, picking up, please. And here it's looking, going, the pilgrims going to the down the highway to Jerusalem, verses 1 through 4. They're headed to Jerusalem, the pilgrims to worship. Now, on their way there. Verse 4, Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. God, highway, we're going down the highway, we're looking to you to bless the heart, who passing as we go on our journey to you, God, in this case to Jerusalem, passing through the valley of Baca, the weeping, the springs, the dropping of resin from the bush. The leaves of the bush, the valley of weeping, mourning, desolate valley. The valley of Baca will make it a well. We're going to go, and when we go, we bring, make me a blessing. And as I go, the pilgrims encourage the heart of the people as they go down the road, as they pass through worlds and work. Think of going to work tomorrow, school, all the things you do. They live in that world. And you come and you bring, if you're with it, you bring the blessing of God to the coffee machine. You bring the blessing of God to the classroom. You bring the blessing of God to your home. You bring the blessing of God. Wow. You make it a spring of water. Refreshment. Ah. Yes, and thus, dear friends, and verse the end of verse 6, the rain also filleth the pools. Go, boy, God, there's encouragement, someone's encouraged, someone's stimulated, someone's looking for some hope. Is there anyone that has hope and help? And here you are, going down the corridor of time. And in verse 7, they go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. God, do you know every one of them? I do. They're my servant. They're going down the road and they're looking for me. Ahab isn't, Jezebel isn't, the people aren't, but Elijah is, and I'm going to train that man to, I have an assignment for him. I have a wonderful itinerary, and I have given him a prime location by the brook Kereth. I gave him very special service. I gave him room service every day. Every day I gave him room service. And by the way, I don't remember him ever having gotten sick or having a problem. God, you just kept him. That's right. That's what I did. Well, now, in closing, over if you would please. Oh, to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And chapter 1. Anyway, Elijah's journey is a wonderful one. A great, great training. And God, you can bless any way you choose. I don't care. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Picking up, please. Oh, you know it in verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus, Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, encouragement, etc. Who comforts us, encourages us in all our tribulation, pressure, squeezing. Why does God help us in it? So that we are able, we're blessed by God's comforting, caring, watch care, his upkeep and blessing us in every way so that we're trusting him the more and triumphant. And so when we do that, verse 4, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So I have to be blessed and looking for the blessing, and then I can hand that out to you. I know it in my life, and I can tell you about it. Now what you do with it is up to you. I'm just telling you it's there. Now what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it, you see? And so we're looking. You're looking. God puts you through all kinds of things so that you're able to have. God was sufficient. God was there. I learned to trust God. I wanted this, and God gave me that, and I learned to say thank you, and I learned to trust him, whether he gave it to me or not. I learned to trust him. And thus, with that in mind, over to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Having said that, so that's our wonderful thing in our life, for our life. And so we're going to cry out, cry, as it were, chapter 3, verse 5, directly in the light of the context, verse 5, that, not that we are sufficient, able, that it isn't, we are sufficient enough, able enough, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but how on earth could you be so confident and so comfortable? How can you proceed down the road like this? Elijah, where on earth? You didn't get this out in the bushes. No, I got it from the God who's in the bushes. That's where I got it. And God has trained me. And he did. Wonderfully trained him. Wow. So God, here we are. Who is sufficient for these things? Verse 5. God, you are sufficient. Our sufficiency belongs to you, God. So how are we going to be that? Because of you. How am I going to go down as the brooks dry up and the world changes, your life changes, your social life, your economy, physical life, the economy, the world you live in, everything's changing. And you're learning as it all dries up. And you live long enough. You live long enough. And you know you live long enough. And then you're the only one left. And no one, you don't have to worry. I don't have to worry about family except Jeanette. You know, they're all gone. They're all gone. Just me. I don't have to think about anybody. You know, if you live long enough, they all go. It's all right. It's okay. They weren't part of the program. They were only there for the moment. The program in the future lies ahead. And Elijah, I want you to say something to the world back then to Ahab and Jezebel. They aren't going to listen, but you're going to be a man after my own heart, and I'm going to bless you. In fact, you are going to be such a blessing. When my son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 17, on the Mount of Transfiguration, when my son takes Peter, James, and John to the top, and they are spectators to watch as Elijah and the Lord and Moses are there. Wow. And they knew it. Somehow, wonderful way they knew it. Elijah. Uh-huh. But then we're going to look at Elijah and Moses. No, no, no. And they disappeared. And all that was left was our Lord Jesus. Because you were supposed to be paying attention, not to Elijah and my blessing and my miracles and what I do. You're supposed to pay attention to me. I'm the one, the source of blessing. I am. And I take birds and I do with them as I will. And I take little birds. And there's not one little bird. There's not one little bird that falls to the ground anywhere on planet Earth that I don't know about. Not one. How's that? So, God, we read it. If you can take care of birds, dare we be bold enough to say that you could take care of us? Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and thank you for just being God to us. Who are we? Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Perhaps you might want to sing. In closing, number 794. Let's stand together as we sing that 794. His eye is on the sparrow.